Greetings. Welcome to the Mental Health Cipher, special program of My Metaphysics of the Pandemic, Volume 4. And if you're just joining me for the first time, the Mental Health Cipher was something that I started a year ago. Or 2 years ago, I honestly don't remember right now in this current moment. As I say many times, my grasp on linear time is often inaccurate. But when I first started to Mental Health Cipher, I knew it was something that I needed to say. It was something I needed to share. It's something I needed to speak about. I just wasn't sure exactly how to go about doing that. I know that might sound crazy, but ever since I was young, I've always received downloads. I mean, serious downloads. Many of the downloads that I received when I was young were, at that time, indecipherable for me. But I started to see them come into fruition around me, slowly but surely. And there's been times where I've shared information with people. And foreshadowing different things. And it's come to pass. There's been many times I received downloads about subject matters that I don't recall ever opening up a book or and hearing about in this reality. But somehow, years later, I'm finding out how accurate I was about certain downloads I had. Now, downloads aren't anything unique uniquely to me. A lot of people not familiar with the term downloads. Downloads is something that I heard one of my brothers say that resonated with me so much because it resonates with me how the computer matches up with the human brain. Our brains are a computer. So computer technology was pretty much creating a artificial brain that could be controlled by the user. And see, stuff like that fascinates me because of the downloads I used to get. The downloads I would get would open me up and enlighten me to thoughts and worlds and subject matters that not the people around me was into. I could look back on it now and see how blessed and honored I was to be chosen to receive those particular downloads. And the downloads that I was receiving, if I could just summarize it and put it like under a blanket term, it was literally the secrets of the universe. It was the secrets of the universe. It was past, it was present, it was future. It was multiple dimensional. It was multiple species. You know, being able to see worlds created by beings other than humans. And then receiving downloads from those places. See, because that's how I get my downloads. I visit these places in the ethers or in the universe or in source or whatever you want to call it. There's certain terminology that I use because it's been redefined or defined to me or by me and it resonates right now. But if a word or term I use is no longer serving me and it's no longer radiating the energy that I need from it, that when I speak it, it's giving me back power. If it's not creating manifestation and changing my reality, then I need new words to use to give description to the power, to the energy, to the ancientness, to the wisdom of the downloads that I receive. It's always interesting to me when I hear somebody say they received a download. I want to know all about it. More so, before we get to the download, what's your process for receiving downloads? That's what I really find interesting, because I'm not sure if the way that I receive downloads, initiate downloads, I should say, is antiquated or not. And see, that's the whole thing about being on a path to self-mastery. It's not for everybody. It's really not for everybody. But I recognize that sometimes I can make people uncomfortable when I'm speaking about self-mastery, when I'm speaking about things that I do to better myself, to expand my consciousness. I recognize sometimes that can make people feel uncomfortable because for some reason they're personalizing what I'm doing and comparing it to what they're doing. That's not the best idea. That's not the best idea, because you get to put two people in the same situation and they can react completely differently. Completely different. But if one is not being true to themselves and they are copying or mirroring or parroting someone else's truth and peddling it as their own, that is a technique for you to jumpstart certain things that you may be unfamiliar with. If you may be an, if you're a novice in certain things, it's not uncommon for you to use other people who's already more experienced than you as a crutch, and adopting their belief system as your own until you're able to develop your own. That's not uncommon. But you can get stuck there and not even realize you're stuck there, and that could be problematic for you if you're not recognizing that connecting that energy of someone else's truth to your own may interfere with the manifestations and the unfolding and the blessings that you are to receive on your path. It can block it. I know this because I've done that. I've used other people as a foundation to jumpstart something that I was a new venture that I was engaging in, but I got stuck. I didn't take off the training wheels. I didn't take the donut off the car and put on a new tire. You know, so eventually that the vehicle stopped working. You get a flat. You get a flat, and you're going at a reasonable amount of speed. You can do a lot of damage to everything under the car that's exposed. I've done this. I've done this. So many times, hard lessons are being played out in your actions. And if you allow your ego to If you allow your ego to be bruised, if people are laughing at your failures, or people are laughing at something that's meaningful to you, but nobody else get it, if that angers you, if that bothers your soul, your spirit, your ego, that also can disrupt your manifestations, your blessings. That was something that I struggled with for years. I'm not even gonna say challenged, but I'm keeping it 100. I struggled with that. Struggle with that because it was hard for me to look at myself with my eyes without looking at myself through the eyes of others and what other people may think or say. Now, a lot of people would say they make nice quotes and memes and things of that nature that I be seeing about don't ever let anybody define who you are. Don't worry about what other people think. And I mean, I support all of that. All of that sound good, but where's the solution at? You know, we can get caught in the solution without the strategy. Now, I tell you what bothers my spirit when people are stuck in the problem. All they're talking about is what's wrong. No strategy and no solutions. Just they only just amplifying the problem. That rubs my spirit the wrong way because that is something that I used to do, and I can easily be infected by that. And then I start feeling that energy of being stuck in a problem, even if I'm not stuck in a problem. That's what's been happening recently because, and this is an ongoing thing. I want to keep on saying this because it's so important, because I know I'm not the only one going through this, but when you feeling what I just said about feeling a person's energy who's stuck in a problem and not the solution or the strategy, it's no solution strategies. He told they just constantly keep telling you what's wrong and they just stuck on a problem. That can create a negative energy flow within me. Within anybody, really, but you know, specifically within me, because this new global paradigm shift that we are in is pretty much a new reality that got merged into ours. And because this new reality that we're all forced to live has merged with our previous reality, a lot of things change without your consent or permission. It just changed overnight. And now you have to do things completely different. So it's like a reset across the board. And I have worked for many, many years to rewrite programming that I recognized was no longer serving me. And once I rewrote the programming, I paired that with new habits. A new thinking, new mindset, and a new grind set. So I was able to not experience the negative aspects of those things that I've alchemized for many years. And I got comfortable, to be honest with you. I got real comfortable because I had disconnected from feeling people's emotions. And it took me years to do it, but I was able to, not only was I able to just observe the emotions without feeling it, I was actually also being able to see the source of it. What caused it? Took a lot of years to do that. Didn't even really know what I was doing. Just being obedient to the downloads that I got. The downloads say do XYZ. And I do XYZ out of trust and faith that the information that I'm receiving is coming from source. It is coming from the ethers. It is coming from the light. It is coming from a place that's going to help me to transform into operating at my highest self. So when this new energy, this new reality merged with ours and reset all of that, I found myself having to pretty much go back to square one and redo them. I have to learn, I have to get the new upgrade codes, which means I have to receive the new downloads, install them, make them part of my behavior, my mindset, see what changes it creates within my environment, decode that, get the lessons from that, and then I ascend to the next level. At times it frustrated me because I felt like I went through boot camp and I was a 5-star general. You know, boot camp was like 20 years in my past, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call saying that you got to go back to boot camp. What? I start over? What about all the time I put in already? The change and the shift that occurs in your life doesn't care anything about your feelings on that. There's no complaint department that you can file a complaint about, hey, something I did 30 years ago, I now have to do it again from scratch with new information, with new data. Okay. I don't bitch or complain about that. I just do it. I'm in compliance because my intuition, well, I would say my intuitive guide has never let me down. Has it taken me down some weird, challenging paths? Absolutely. Has it broken me down just so I could be rebuilt? Absolutely. But I don't focus on the surface of how painful or negative or low vibratory that may look, because the rewards of it are so great that I know that I'm going through hell to get to heaven. I'm going through these challenging shadow tests just so I can be worthy of the source that cast the shadows. That was deep. I ain't even gonna rewind that or break it down. But those who have wisdom that just understood what I just said, see, that was a download. I've never spoken those words before. That came because I centered myself. I breathe. Take a deep breath, I breathe, and allow the wisdom of the ethers to flow through me. It's my reward for being in compliance. It's my reward for being obedient. It's my reward for seeing what most don't, hearing what most don't, and understanding it, or at least having enough faith in it to have the experience when the absence of understanding is at the forefront. Oh yeah, you get rewarded for stuff like that. And you get some real cool downloads. And the downloads are so cool that it will scare people on this planet. Terrify them. You'll constantly hear me clearing my throat because my throat chakra is also being upgraded. That's a whole nother show. I'm not going to get into that. But it's a good thing. So, you know, just bear with me. You'll hear me clearing my throat a lot. And it's also indicative of my father. I got an amazing dad. You know, he in his 80s, still funny. You know, he's still got zest for life. he's having his challenges health-wise, but that's still my dad. And what challenges he's having right now isn't the beginning, ending, or the majority of his story. The story is powerful. He's a master mechanic, master carpenter. I've been experiencing the multidimensional state of being in many places at one time. It's a very powerful thing that I hear people say negative things about, or they speak negatively of it because they don't understand the true power of it. And they'll say stuff like, man, I'm all over the place. There's a lot of people that's experiencing that right now, especially people in my soul tribe, in my soul circle, empaths, alchemists, everybody all over the place right now. It's multidimensional downloads that's happening. You're not just receiving downloads from your same old sources anymore. You're receiving them from many other sources now. We're in a reset. Things change. You have to adapt. If you don't, it'll drive you nuts. It'll drive you crazy. And it could be fatal to you because when you are, and please don't get this confused with multitasking, but when you are receiving interdimensional downloads, the downloads are so powerful that it actually sucks you into that realm and that dimension, and you're experiencing what it is to exist in that realm. It takes a split second here on Earth, but it could be hundreds or thousands of years in the ethers. So when you return with that information back into your conscious awareness, now you have new information. You might have been right in the middle of saying something, and then that new download come because you just had a new experience, and now you're talking about something completely unrelated. You recognize you're doing it, and then you say, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Hey, I dig it. I used to say that. I mean, shoot, I think I was saying that the first show. But I had time to reflect on it. I had time to get clarity on it. And I accept it. I accept now watch how I bring this back full circle. I accept it, even though I know other people may look at it as me just rambling, ranting, or making no sense. Now, see, that used to bother me. What other people thought about me used to bother me for years. It took me years to start working on not caring. I mean, not giving a F about it, you know? And I got there the way I needed to get there. But with this new merging of realities, I find myself once again feeling those same emotions. And wondering what people would say about certain downloads that I got and whether I should share it or not. And every time that happens, it makes me chuckle because I know where it came from. Okay, that's another one of those things that, you know, I had a bunch of marbles in a crate, and the pandemic bust the crate open. Now I got marbles all over the place. So I just got to collect these marbles to put them back into a cohesive collective to create one big giant marble, one big giant crystal, one big giant stone, one big giant energy ball. Because don't put them back in a crate. The crate is a box, the crate is limiting. So allow yourself to be all over the place. It's freeing, it's liberating. It's the correct flow of energy that's taking you where you need to be at. But if you have a reluctancy about it because you feel as though that socially, speaking to people, it would reflect bad upon you. Because, like I said, this has happened to me. I've had business meetings where I've been all over the place and it's overwhelmed the person, and I could tell it was overwhelmed, and I started thinking over time of, I wonder what they thinking. What they thinking about me. I wonder what they saying. What they saying behind my back. Probably talking about me. They're probably saying that. And I'm just having a ball making up all of this stuff that I think they're saying. And that could be 100% accurate, or it might be completely false. But the whole point is, why do I care? When I found myself caring too much, I said, okay, this is one of the marbles I need to re-alchemize. I gotta start from scratch. But before I do, let me explore these feelings, because these feelings also have a lot of great information in it that I need to extract and make sure I get every drop of it. I don't want to leave nothing behind, because once I alchemize these feelings, I'm not going to feel them no more until we have another global paradigm shift and merge realities and I had to hit a reset button again. But that's probably 30 years from now. I don't know. I'm not prophesizing. I'm just guessing. So, that has been my lesson for this week. My lesson for this week has been to silence the voices of other people that I allow to take space in my mind, and allowing them to voice any kind of opinion on what I'm doing. And I know a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of empaths struggle with that. It's natural, because, well, it's natural to struggle with that, because you feel people's energy. When you feel people's energy also have words. So these words start forming sentences when you're feeling someone else's energy. And it's easy to mistake these words as being their thoughts about you. Now, let me rewind that one again, because that was real important for me to know, to dig up and discover. I discovered that when I'm feeling other people's energy, and those energy has their own words, they have their own vocabulary. They have their own terminology. They have their own history. So I'm not just getting their energy, I'm also getting their words. And I know they're not my words, so I'm like, they must be their words. So then it forms into, I think this is what they're saying about me. I think this is what they think about me. And again, it could be true, but it could be false. But the whole point of it is, when you're feeling other people's energy, there's no filter on it. You're getting that raw energy. A lot of energy is bad. It's toxic. Majority of it, 98.9% of it, is toxic. So it's very important. It was paramount for me to differentiate my energy from somebody else's energy. Because I had let it get so bad where I allowed their energy to start speaking words to me. And then it became a it became a exercise in feeling self-conscious, because what you feel others may be saying about you behind your back. This is how I see it. This is how I reconcile that. So what? I'm pretty sure everybody who I'm cool with at one time or another has talked trash about me. And I'm not mad about it. I get it. I understand it. Because many times people can make you feel a certain way. People can anger you to the point where you're afraid to say it to them, so you say it to somebody else because you value the friendship that much. See, you gotta read deep into stuff sometimes. When I hear people talking about other people, even though I don't like to indulge in that type of activity, I am listening and I'm recognizing that, hey, there's a source here that isn't so cut and dry as, oh, they be talking about people behind their back. No, they had mad love for people that they are upset with, or they're doing something that they feel as though is unfair, and they got so much love for them, they don't want to bring it to that person because they're not sure how to use their energy of words to say it without hurting their feelings or causing a ripple in the friendship or the relationship. I get it. I get it. I've been seeing it. I've been witnessing it. I've been on the receiving end of somebody talking about somebody, and then that person they talking about come to me and they talking about that person. So it's easy to dismiss stuff like that as, yeah, they two-faced. They talk about you behind your back. They do this, they do that. And again, all that may be true, but when you have free rein over your thoughts and how your thoughts make you feel, you can alchemize anything in this world to a higher vibration. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's a scary thing to do because a lot of people protect being closed-minded. A lot of people believe that they're open-minded, but suppose you live in a triplex with 18 doors and you only got one door open, and you mistake that one having that one door open as you being open. No, there's still of 17 other doors that's closed. So that was another thing that I used to say, that I'm open-minded, and then one day I caught myself and asked myself, am I really open-minded? Or am I just open-minded about certain things? I had to check myself. So when I decided, yeah, I'm not as open-minded as I thought. I'm gonna have to be more open-minded to things that makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. That's it right there. It's that honest dialogue right there. Being open-minded to things that make you uncomfortable will make you real uncomfortable. And so uncomfortable that a lot of people don't do it. They won't do it. Hell, sometimes I don't do it. But the times that I do, open up more doors. And I get to see the world in a whole different new light. Brand new perspective instantly, just by doing that one hard thing. Man, overriding and upgrading and deleting and reinstalling old programs is a 24/7 job. 24/7. And you'll never catch up. You'll never be caught up. Ellipses, ellipses, ellipses. For those who are not familiar, that means dot, dot, dot. You'll never catch up, dot, 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 if you're doing it by yourself. See, that's when connecting to a collective comes in. That's when connecting to people who love you, truly love you, who truly sees you. You and all of your weirdness, you and all of your flaws, you and all of your inconsistencies, you and all of your hypocrisy, you and all of your contradictions. A person who truly loves you see through all of that and see that they're trying. Yeah, they are all of these things that society has stigmatized and put social baggage on to be negative things. Yes, they are all of these things, but did all of these things because they're trying. Man, can we recognize when people trying to grow, when people are trying to be the better, better themselves? It's not always pretty. It's not. It's not always pleasant. It's not always pain-free. It's an ugly business. It really is, because you're going into those places outside of your comfort zone and digging up stuff that you have no idea what you're about to uncover and what you're about to unearth. That's why being a risk taker is excellent for that type of work when you're practicing self-mastery. Now, I'm a risk taker up to a point. Then I become a cautious risk taker. But for the most part, that was something, another program that I've been working on, it seemed like all of my life, is being comfortable taking risk, being comfortable being open-minded to things that made me uncomfortable. One of the most powerful things I ever did is learning how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because when you learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable, it's not too many places you're going to be afraid to go. In life, and within yourself, and within your mind, and especially within your imagination. So with that being said, with that definition being laid out on the table, I go some pretty dangerous places. My thoughts are dangerous because they could easily offend someone, scare someone, or have someone have a very negative opinion of me because they've allowed their own energy to conjure words of negativity towards something that I said because I gave it to them raw. They don't have a filter. See, it worked both ways too. You can give people so much positive energy with no filter that it can have the same effect on them as you giving them negative energy. Ain't that deep? That's real deep. I know, you're thinking, but yeah, it's all about balance. Well, balance is only applicable in this reality. There's no balance in the universe. There's just the nature cycle of the process. There's no balance to it. It's a process. And sometimes that process is completely lopsided. Like recently, I took so many L's back to back. There was no balance in that. That was having all these challenges tipping the scale over on one side. But I recognized that that was a necessary process. So instead of trying to achieve balance, I was focusing on having my mindset be a fulcrum. The fulcrum is in the middle of the scale that never moves no matter what side the scale tilt upwards or downwards or even itself out to be. The fulcrum never moves. That's what I practice on, having that energy of the fulcrum. So while I was catching all of these L's, I recognized, I might need some help with this. I think I've taken this as far as I can by myself. I think I need to do some recruiting. And that's what I did. I started getting people to help me, not only in my personal life, but also in my spiritual life, but also in my love life. And your love life is more than just your relationship. Your love life is the people in your life that you love and who loves you. And I started recruiting people in that area, and also started recruiting people in that area, in my area of business. Started receiving help. I recognized one of the lessons I had to learn this year was knowing when to ask for help. Knowing when you have taken as far as you can by yourself, and now you need to join a collective or create a collective that's going to help you take it to the next level. Because if you're part of a collective, the collective has the same goals in mind. They're already on the same path. And many of them are doing it by themselves, just like you. So if you're the one to say, hey, there's a bunch of us on this same path, why don't we all work together? Help me do my thing, because I put so much time and effort and research into my thing. If you believe that my thing could take us all where we need to go, why don't we all work towards that? But if you have something, if your thing is the thing that's going to take it further than mine's can, then I'll be part of your collective to help you take it to that next level. Because once we have friends at that next level, those friends can then in turn help you get to that next level. And that's the power of networking. And I've been networking my ass off this year. I think this might be my best year for networking. Seriously. It became a high to meet people who don't know you from Adam. And pitch an idea to them. And after you get finished pitching, they saying, I want to be part of your collective. I want to help you make that happen. I believe in your vision. Oh, it's so powerful. It's so humbling. It's a blessing. And it's a direct manifestation, because last year I recognized that I need a team. I'm like, I've taken my businesses as far as they go. They can go. I've taken my craft as far as it can go by myself. Now I need a team to help me take it to that next level. I just left an environment today that I was a huge part of during the pandemic. A lot of interesting and diverse energies was in this environment. And I was in that environment for a while until I moved. I moved far, far away. And this saddened a lot of the energies in this environment. And I mean, you know, you bond with people and you go through the whole, oh man, I'm going to miss you. You know, I'm going to miss you too. And I wish you well. I wish you well too. Stay in touch. You know, you go through that, but you really don't understand the effects that your presence and your energy can have on people until it's been removed. And being in this environment for over 6 months, and then suddenly moving, I was only gone a week. I moved into my new place. I've been in Los Angeles ever since I came to California. I love Los Angeles. But Los Angeles got a lot of stuff with it. Energetically got a lot of stuff with it. And I'm cool with it. But at the same time, I was making a lot of changes in my life. So I made the decision to move out of Los Angeles. First, I went to Long Beach. Then I moved to the Valley, San Fernando Valley, which is where I'm at right now. And I'm creating a whole new energy here. I'm creating a whole new environment here, a whole new universe, a whole new life. And it's powerful. And it's taking on a life all on its own. Pun intended. And now I've created a new flow of energy and current to the universe that I could just ride this wave of energy, and I've been manifesting like crazy. Like crazy. But I did say I was going to revisit that environment to officially, you know, say my see you laters to people, because I don't like goodbyes. You know, my see you laters, and, you know, pray with certain people. I don't have any religious belief. I don't have any spiritual beliefs that I could, like, label and put myself under. I respect all religions, and I respect all spiritual beliefs, because 9 times out of 10, I practiced them at one time or another in my timeline, this reality. So I can pretty much talk to anybody, pray with anybody. I can speak the language of the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, the Medunater or Medineta, some people call it. This isn't me bragging. This is just me saying that I was so hungry and thirsty for knowledge that I was trained in many of these belief systems and many of these religions. Just looking for truth and getting a lot of jewels from them that I combined together to make my own truth. So with that being said, I revisited my environment, and I was glad, I was happy to see everybody. Everybody was happy to see me, but I wasn't prepared to hear how my absence affected everybody, and most importantly, how it affected the energy of the whole environment. It can't be a coincidence. It cannot be a coincidence that the whole time I'm there, there was no wars happening on the streets. But as soon as I leave, wars at the front door, right on the block. Two of the people in the environment that I'm speaking of was present for 3 deaths. Peace and blessings be upon them all. And I could feel the energy when I was hearing this, because everybody was talking about it. Man, it's been crazy since you left. This been happening, that been happening, blah, blah, blah. You know, just running down the whole list. Then I'm hearing individually how people are, they're challenged, they're struggling. They say it ain't been the same since you left. And that was very interesting for me to hear, because I do recognize the energy that I brought into that environment. Any environment I go to, I'm going to bring my energy with me because it's mobile. That's the only way I could be comfortable in an uncomfortable environment, is to make myself comfortable by changing the environment to be comfortable for me. How I do that? I bring positive energy. I bring respect. I see people, I listen to people, and I talk to them, not at them. I'm not dismissive of them. I'm not labeling them. I'm not judging them. I'm listening, conversating with them. And most people weren't used to having that happen. And I would just give genuinely from the heart. If you in need, I'm going to give. If I have it, I'm going to give it. In the beginning of the show, you often hear me say, welcome to the Mental Health Cypher. This is Sai Shanti, a.k.a. the Urban Yogi, or the Urban Yogi, a.k.a. Sai Shanti. Some people get what the Urban Yogi's about. Some people don't. But let me tell you what the Urban Yogi is about. First of all, my name is spelled H-E-R-B, Urban Yogi. Yogi is part of my last name. Urban is not only the environments where I mostly dwell, but it's also the energy that I bring, because I bring the energy of plant power wherever I go. Be that through food, or be that through herbs and teas, or be that through cannabis. I had the best cannabis in the environment. As they said, I had very loud weed. And I never heard that term before. I said, what does that mean? It said, your weed is like when you toke up, you can tell. Yeah, that's the Urban Yogi sparking up. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't mind sharing. So I started sharing. And not only did I share it, I blessed the cannabis. See, that's something I've been on about 2 years ago. I discovered that I was a cannabis whisperer. I understood and understand that cannabis has a consciousness, because any plant, from nature, that's connected to that network of nature, of communication. Those in the know what I'm talking about. Avatar tried to touch upon it. But any plant from that network has a consciousness that can be spoken to and conversated with and negotiated with. But the strands of cannabis are so far removed from the grandfather strand, which means that the grandfather strand was the strands that came straight from the earth. Old school cannabis. Not saying that, you know, the cannabis now doesn't come from the earth. It all comes from the earth. But the grandfather strand hadn't been tampered with. It was left, the molecular structure of it was still intact. It wasn't strained, which is a technique for growing, to produce bigger buds or quicker reproduction times. And it wasn't mixed with different things they call hybrids. And it got very convoluted. See, I started ingesting cannabis when I was 13 years old. When it was still pure. And that was my ascension into new knowledge and wisdom and new downloads, because that's when I was first able to peek into the ethers and see the secrets of the universe and all of that good stuff. When you see parodies of people that's high talking about, oh man, look at the pretty colors, and you know, they talking some real far out stuff. That's real. That's a psychotropic. Anything that alters your reality, alters your mindset, alters your perception, it takes you into another realm and another world that's just as real as the one that you left. And I recognize that cannabis has the ability to do that, but it also has the ability to take you specifically to places where you're not just stuck in the high and tripping. You're actually putting in spiritual work. Not saying nothing is wrong with high and tripping. You know, that's what you call recreational. I'm more a medicinal person because I use it not only for my overall well-being and health, and I also use it for my creativity, but I also use it for my spirituality. And I use such a small dosage of it because I bless it. But I started blessing it because the quality of weed that I was getting wasn't doing it for me. So me blessing it was the equivalent of me talking to him and saying, "Brother, sister, weed, you all right?" "Not really. They ain't treating me the best, you know. They forced me to grow, skipped a lot of steps." "Well, I apologize for that. I really do. And don't be mad at them. Just forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I know who you are, and I know what network you come from. I know what lineage you come from. You come from a lineage of communication directly from source." Oh, cannabis appreciate that when you know their truth, when you know who they are, you're not judging them by the often creative names that they go by now because of the way they were prepared. That's like putting clothes on an animal, on dogs. Dogs probably, you know, if they comfortable wearing it or they okay wearing it, they ain't tripping off of the clothes. But if you know their soul, their essence, you know what they like, you know what, how to scratch them behind the ear, and you know how to, what to feed them and when to feed them, how to play with them, you know, you keeping them happy and letting them feel that joy and that gratitude, that's what they more concerned about. And they'll help you out. You say sit, they'll sit. Roll over, roll over. And that's how cannabis is. Not saying cannabis, you know, is, I'm training cannabis like a dog or anything like that. I communicate with cannabis because cannabis has a consciousness. So me blessing it is pretty much me asking the cannabis to accept the intentions that I'm putting into it, and those intentions manifest or come into fruition once I smoke or ingest. So that's what I was doing in my environment. I was blessing people's weed. Then I was asking them for a review. Did it take you where you need to go at? Absolutely. How you feel? I feel great. Thank you. I was bringing something to them that they haven't experienced before. And a lot of people mistook me for being a herb dealer. Right, I don't sell it. I'll share it, but I ain't gonna sell it. I do my research. I know what good cannabis is, and I get top grade cannabis. Then I bless it. So you ain't gonna find weed like mine's. That's why they call me the urban yogi. Bam, full circle. So once the urban yogi left the environment, the environment started to decline. Not only because the urban yogi was keeping the environment on a spiritual high, but also because I was also blessing everything and everyone. I will randomly pull people to the side, not randomly, when I see someone's spirit is real heavy and I'm feeling it's real heavy, I'll pull them to the side and we'll talk. And when I'm feeling, they'll confirm, and then we'll pray. Some of them I pray, some of them I put intentions to the universe. Guess what? It's the same thing. I don't get caught up in the terminology. I use the language that they're comfortable with. If they're using the word pray, I say pray. But some of them who didn't pray appreciated that I prayed, quote unquote, prayed non-denominationally. They appreciated that. It didn't feel religious. It didn't even feel spiritual. it felt real because it was real. It was me connecting with them and we connecting to the universe and speaking our greatness into fruition. I don't know if I was the only person there doing that, but I kind of think I was. Because I could feel the energy was low when I came back. And one of the brothers there told me that. He said, "Man, I've been going through it. I've really been going through it. And since you left, everything got crazy. Energy real low." He had to tell me that. So I did what the urban yogi do. I raised the vibration up. I gave them their blessed cannabis. I bought them dinner. I prayed with people individually. I prayed with people as a collective and just spent time with everybody. Everybody who I got close with. I was cool with everybody, but certain people I got close with. So it was real cool that I was able to see everybody because I will visit again, but I don't know how often and when I'll be visiting because I'm on a new path. The path that I'm on led me from that environment to pursue my path. But it was very interesting, the difference in the energy. Once I came there and raised it up, that made me feel good that I was able to do that. That I was able to make people smile. One of the dudes said, "Man, I feel better already." He said, "Man, I tell you," he's like, "So I come through and I instantly my energy go up." Said, "Man, I love hearing stuff like that. I love hearing stuff like that because, I'm a walking contradiction because I don't like people in general, but when I meet cool people that I don't consider them, I don't consider them the people that I'm talking about that I generally, have a challenge with. And when I say I don't like people, what I'm saying is people's energy affects my energy. I don't like to have my energy affected, so I'll disconnect from people. But when you're put in a situation where you are forced into an environment with people, or at least for me, I had no choice but to, like I said, I just do what I do. I, being true to myself, I raise the vibration up. Diffuse a few fires, put out a few fires, diffuse a few things. It's a tough environment. A lot of things happen in that environment. A lot of not so cool stuff happened. But I never let, even when it got, when bad stuff was happening, cool, uncool stuff was happening, I still never let that change my energy. So for me, it was that environment was a great boot camp because all the challenges I was telling you about, all these feelings that I was feeling, and all these things I had to alchemize happened in that environment. And that's why I was able to leave because my ascension, my lessons had been learned. Everything I need to get from it has been gotten. It was time to move to the next level. It was beautiful the way it happened. Everything just came together so beautifully. But the one message that I try to leave with everybody in the environment is don't stop. Don't quit. focus on your goals, and do everything you can to get towards them. That's all I did. Every day I was working on my goals. Every day. It wasn't even something I was trying to hide or anything I was trying to flaunt. People just can see I was on my grind. I had a mission. My mission never changed until I accomplished it. Once I accomplished my mission, then I set forth a new mission. But I appreciated the gratitude that I felt from them when I raised up the vibration, gave people some clarity. Again, because I see things a little bit different, I can hear you stuck in a problem, but since I know the source of your problem, I'm gonna speak to the source and not the problem. Because see, when I speak to the source of it, if you remove your emotions from it, then you can start strategizing and then you can create a solution. But you don't want to get stuck in a problem, you don't want to get stuck in a strategy, and you don't want to get stuck in a solution. All of these are things that should happen in a succession, but you shouldn't have your mail forwarded in any of those spots. That's stagnation. And stagnation is very elusive at times with its identity. Because you can be moving forward in so many other areas, but you just stuck in that one area. That's stagnation. Because that one area that you stuck in will keep you from manifesting other things that you need to move forward. So it keeps you anchored right where you at. And you can't figure it out a lot of times because everything else, you killing it with everything else. I call that positive stagnation because everything looks positive except for that one area. And like I said, most of the time that area is so small, it's so minute that you'll overlook it. You can't believe that that little tiny itsy bitsy piece of stagnation is stopping this massive train from rolling down the tracks, but it is. And when I see it in myself, I address it immediately. When I see it in others, I can only share what I see. And most of the time I hear, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that resonate. Yeah, I never looked at it that way, but yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, that's cool. Acknowledgement is cool, but I'm not doing it for personal accolades. I'm doing it because I genuinely want to help you heal. I genuinely have love for you. If I didn't have love for you, I wouldn't be telling you anything. I'll listen. I'm a great listener. I'll just listen silently. I won't give you anything. But if I love you, I'm giving you something. You're either going to accept it or reject it. And it's no in between. And because my words are powerful, because my downloads are powerful, like I said, when you invite me in, you better be sure you want me to come in because I'm coming in raw. I'm coming in with some heat you never felt before. A lot of people can't take that heat, and it makes them feel a certain way. Or sometimes they just might have a natural ab reaction. I've had people, I used to call it Jay Holiday and people. Because there was a song back in the day by Jay Holiday called I'll Put You to Bed that I like that song. And when I'm talking to people and they just nod off, I'm like, yep, you just got Jay Holiday. I'm overloading your conscious mind because I'm speaking to your subconscious mind and I'm pulling out the archives. I'm pulling out things from the past, that folders from the past that you need to be studying, because what you're telling me you're being challenged by, the answers are in you, and I'm seeing what the answers are. See, if you're not complaining about where you at, if where you at isn't a problem for you, it ain't a problem for me. If you like it, I love it. But once you start telling me the problem. You get stuck in the problem, keep on telling me what's wrong, but you're not trying to take it to that next level where you strategize, and then the next level where you get the solution, and then that next level where you enjoy the rewards of that solution. Again, not getting stuck in any one of those steps. When you're not willing to do that, it becomes draining for me to listen to you constantly talk about the problem, or constantly talking about the strategy, or constantly talking about the solution and not making any efforts to create it. I don't like stagnation. I don't. It's infectious. People can infect you with their stagnation. That's a pandemic within itself, the pandemic of stagnation. How do you know you're stagnant? If your whole circle is in the same place, in the same boat, and nobody's paddling forward, or everybody's paddling a different direction, your boat just spinning, chances are you're in a stagnant collective. Oh, that's, oh, a stagnant collective. Oh, that's when you got to make some changes. That's when you got to make some cuts. That's when you have to reevaluate everything. That's when you have to do a friendvatory. But, and challenges are funny. They are so funny. I used to find humor in overcoming my challenges in hindsight, which was cool, but when I can find the humor in my challenges as they're happening, that became empowering. And I'm always going to gravitate towards empowering myself rather than disempowering myself. My shows don't really have a theme. I just share what comes through, and whatever the topic is, I think is the most relevant, that's what I'll name the show. The first two shows, I didn't have any sub names or subtitle names for it. It was just my Metaphysics of the Pandemic, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 3, I gave it a subtitle, Global Emotions, because that's how I started off talking about global emotions. This one, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what should I call this one? Or what have I talked about the most? Or what I think is the most prevalent in my sharing? Because this whole experience is about me sharing. Excuse me, I had to get some water. This whole process is about me sharing how I'm using metaphysics during the pandemic to not only build my business, not only to improve my health, not only to further my self-mastery, but also to really see this whole new reality, this merged into our reality from a third's eye view. I don't want to see the world through the eyes of the media or social media or other people's words, other people's belief systems, which is why I had that challenge of feeling that, worrying about whatever people was thinking about, things I was talking about. I had to go through that challenge to alchemize it for something even more powerful and greater, which is allowing myself to be downloaded to with no limitations and no restrictions. See, when you worry about what other people think about you, that creates limitations instantly. So you're only getting half the download. The algorithm is off. So to align my algorithm, I had to remove the emotion of caring about what other people thought about what I was doing, what I was saying, because what I was doing and saying, my behavior, my thoughts, my feelings, my words, are all in harmony with my self-mastery and all in harmony with the direction of my spiritual journey and path that I'm on. You wouldn't know what that was. I was telling you what it was. Like how I'm sharing on this podcast. You wouldn't know all this stuff that I'm going through unless I told you. So that is some of the inner dialogue that I have to remove myself from having those thoughts of, I wonder if people are going to think this or think that. I don't care. Really don't care. So I'm glad that that challenged me because I need to be back where I'm at right now, where I care about who resonates with me. That's what I care about, because if what I'm saying resonate with you, that means that we speak the same frequency. We're part of the same soul tribe, but we may not be from the same place. We just speak the same language, and I'm cool with that. Because that's one of the things I often think about. Am I the only one of my kind here? I don't know if y'all picked up on that, if it recorded it, but I got some business coming through. People hit me up on Facebook. I've been a little bit more active on Facebook recently for business purposes. But overall, I find it interesting that we're in this era of social distancing. There's also a pandemic of social listening. What I mean by that is there's a lot of emotions on social media that's infecting people and having them to change their whole perception and mindset or exacerbate their mindset to that belief system. And if it works for you, that's great. But if it's slowing you down, if it's overwhelming you, if it's stressing you out, if it's depressing you, if it's saddening you, maybe you should think about practicing social distancing of listening. Just saying. I think I'm going to conclude this podcast now because my alerts are blowing up, and there's a lot of business that I intend to conduct before the sunrise tomorrow. But I'm still thinking out loud what the theme of this show is going to be. But I put forth the intention to the universe, to the ethers, that by the time I stop recording and I'm ready to upload it and make my poster and post that, I put forth the intention to the universe and to the ethers that by the time I'm in the process of doing all of that, the title of the show will come to me. And it just did. Wow, changing your environment. I think that's the perfect theme for this show. Changing your environment. Or changing the energy in your environment. There you go. Because, yeah, you can change the energy in your environment by leaving your environment, but you can also change the energy in your environment by changing the energy. You can also change your environment by changing the energy in your environment. I've done both of those things. And that's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. If someone is being challenged right now, if you're just like really going through it, You may need to do one of those two things. You need to either change your environment by leaving your environment and finding a new environment that's more in alignment to your spiritual well-being, or change the energy in your environment. Or finding a way to be comfortable with your environment. Because you can also change yourself, how you interact and how you feel about your environment. That's another technique that I had to use also. I'm glad I remembered that. I had to, before I was able to change the energy in my environment, well, I can't say that. I don't know which one came first. I know the last thing I did was I changed my environment by moving. But I don't know if me changing the energy in my environment happened first, and then I had to change the way I felt about the environment, or if I had to change the way I felt about the environment first and then change the energy of it. And it's not a bad environment. Don't get me wrong. It's just an environment that, like I said, I didn't choose to be in. I was forced into it because of the pandemic and because of, like I said, I was catching a lot of L's back to back. So I found myself in between housing. And I've been there before. And I've conquered that before. So I'm like, this isn't going to be no different. Matter of fact, in hindsight, it was actually a lot smoother than the first time because I knew more and I've experienced more. And I've alchemized enough things where I can go through it and it didn't bother me because I had a different perspective and interaction with it. Yeah, that's what happened first. I changed how I felt about my environment because everybody who was in that environment, they just trying to better themselves. I didn't judge nobody in the environment, which is why I got along with everybody. And I got along with people who didn't get along with each other. Because I saw myself in them. Yeah, everybody's story is different, but everybody's struggle is pretty much the same challenges. So why not swap notes and techniques and tips? Maybe you figured out some stuff I haven't. Maybe I figured out some stuff you haven't. And that's what I did. I learned a lot. Oh my goodness, I learned so much in that environment. I transformed in that environment. I upgraded. I overrode a lot of programs and uninstalled so many programs and installed new ones. Oh man, I witnessed my growth and the growth of others and the effect that we was having on one another by growing. I mean, it was a blessing. That's why I can understand why that environment may be feeling the effects of my absence. I get it. I understand it. Because it was so much that that environment gave me, I gave back to that environment. That environment showed me love. I showed that environment love. Still got love for it. Like I said, I'll visit because there's a lot of cool people in that environment. I'll visit, see how everybody doing, pray for everybody. But it was time for me to go. Okay, I think I'm done now. Yeah, I got my title. Changing your environment by changing the energy of your environment or changing you. How to change your environment. That's what I'll call it because, like I said, it's three different methods that I used that I'm aware of now. And if I sit down and think about it, it may even be more. Who knows? I may even said it in the show earlier. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just allowing spirit to flow through me. But yeah, but anyway, this is volume 4. And volume 5 will be coming up after this, I guess. Let spirit tell me to do something different. But either way, I hope you got something from it. I hope y'all staying safe. Hope y'all staying healthy. I hope y'all staying masterful. And I'll holler at y'all next time. Peace.